no other name like the name of Jesus. No other name to praise and proclaim. No other name to cling to. No other name to cherish. Jesus, no other name. There was a man possessed by devils, his body vexed with pain. The people greatly feared, for he could not be bound by chains. Yet at the name of Jesus, the devils fled away. The people were amazed to hear the madman say, there is no other name like the name of Jesus. No other name to praise and proclaim.
All right, let's take your Bibles this morning. Turn, please, to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Romans, chapter number 8. I want to encourage you to come back tonight. The Lord has given us a thought that I believe will be a blessing. And the thought tonight will be dealing with uncertainty. And I'm praying that God will use it. He's used it in my life. Praying he'll use it in the lives of the people of our church. I was thinking as Brother Dustin was singing this morning, Acts chapter 4, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. You know, I stand before you whole this morning. Completed healed. This is the stone which was set at the nod of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Watch verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, you want to know how the world looks at us, just like they did Peter and John. You all get up and say that there's no other name. You get up and say there's only one way to heaven. The Bible said they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. But Brother Grizzle, they took knowledge of them. That they had been with Jesus. Boy, I tell you what's the truth. That ought to be a prayer for every one of us. That somebody would just understand. We might be odd. But it's because of the God that we serve. We've been with Jesus. Amen. The things that tears the world out of the frame may not tear us out of the frame. But we're the ones that have hope. We're the ones that know Him. If you would, Romans chapter number 8 this morning. Romans chapter number 8. I want to bring a thought in your hearing this morning that the Lord has impressed upon me yesterday evening. And I guess when I came into the Sunday school class, I don't know how far along Brother John had gotten or whether he had just started after the prayer request, but one of the first verses of Scripture that I heard him read or quote was from Romans chapter number 8. And I thought to myself, I wish he'd leave that Scripture alone. That's mine this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's look over in the latter part. The Bible said, verse 35, I'm going to be in the entire chapter today. Don't let that scare you, but we're going to be in the entire chapter. The Bible said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. They in all these things were more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I'd like to preach this morning for a little while on the subject of more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let's pray together. Father, I'm so grateful this morning for the privilege to stand in this place, the privilege, our Lord, to know You. In the free pardon of sin. God, I do pray this morning for those that are sick. I pray, Lord, You'd touch them. I pray, Lord, that God, that You would help them, that You'd encourage them, that You'd strengthen them. I pray, Lord, for those that are out in sin, Lord, that You'd speak to their heart. Could be, Lord, somebody here today doesn't know You. I pray, oh God, that You would just speak to that heart, our Father, Lord, that they might want to come to know Jesus this day, to whom to know is life eternal. Lord, we pray this morning now, Lord, would You just pour out a double portion of Your Spirit in this place, on this preacher. Help us, our Father. Help us. Lord, we humble ourselves this morning, Lord, realizing that without You, we can do nothing, absolutely nothing. But Lord, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Help us, we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'd like to ask a question this morning, kind of introducing the message and prefacing the thought. How many of you are saved this morning? That's settled. You know that you're heaven bound this morning with the hammer down. Would you raise your hand up there? Now I'm going to ask another question. How many can remember a season in your life? Maybe it was an hour. Maybe it was a day. Maybe it was a week. Maybe it was a month. Maybe it was several years. How many can remember a season in your Christian life when you felt like less than conquerors? Okay. Here's the way I want to preface the message today, because we're going to get in God's Word. God's Word will help us. But here's what I want to say this morning. I used something there that, and really I don't know of any other way to ask it. We felt like, you know what happens to us sometimes? Brother Johnny, our feelings take over. Where faith is supposed to be running the show. Our feelings come in on us. Amen. And we feel like less than conquerors. Now let me ask you something. If I feel like something and God says something else, which one's true? Which one's true? Did God say, Brother John, that you and I are more than conquerors if we feel like it? Is that what He said? No. God knew that there was going to be hills and there was going to be valleys. God knew that you and I that are His children, that man that's born of a woman's few days and full of trouble. God knew that in the world you shall have tribulation, but he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I'd like to just repeat something. I didn't mean to. Brother John mentioned it in Sunday school, but it blessed my heart yesterday when the wife of the president, whether she was reading it or quoting it or whatever she was doing, opened up with the Lord's Prayer and said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That blessed my heart. I tell you what, there's hope. I said, there's hope. When you ask his will to be done, honey, there's hope. Amen. And I praise the Lord for that. I just wanted to say that. Everything else cost you $500, but that little tidbit's free. Amen. That blessed my heart. And I praise the Lord for that. More than conquerors. I want to give you some things this morning. I'm going to have to hurry along, but I want to give you some things out of the chapter that really spoke to my heart. Number one, we're more than conquerors. And here's some things that will reflect this. Number one, when we have assurance that we know the Lord. We have to have assurance that we know the Lord. Let me just say this. The Bible said here in verse number one, there's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Let me just say this. A while ago I spoke about seasons. But beloved, if that's a life, there could be a problem. And the problem could be that you've never been more than a conqueror, because you've never been saved by the grace of God. The Word of God said here, there's therefore now no condemnation. If a person's going to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, there has to be blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. There has to be a time. If you look at here, the Bible said there's therefore now. That now represents a time. There has to be a time in your life when you know that the sinner met the Savior and the Savior saved the sinner. Amen. And that the condemnation went away, the guilt went away. And then the Word of God says here, there's no condemnation, so there's forgiveness. Is there a time when you've experienced God's forgiveness? And then the Bible said in verse number two, that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Was there a time when you felt like you were shackled by a heavy burden, but when you came to Jesus, he set you free? Is that time in your life? Have you been born again? Beloved, listen, I believe with all my heart, there needs to be that assurance that we know the Lord. I know today that you're never going to be a conqueror. You know, if you watch baseball, know anything about baseball, if you hit the ball and you run the bases, it's required that you touch the bases. It's required that some part of your body touch first base, touch second base, touch third base, and touch home plate. And I'll just say this to you. We're living in a generation because men have quit preaching repentance and faith. Amen. That a lot of people think they're going to touch home plate, and they've never touched first base. They've never been born again. We can only be a conqueror because we have that assurance that we're in Christ Jesus and can go back to a time in our life when there's now no condemnation. The second thing that I want you to see in the chapter, I'm not reading all the verses, but just enough to get the message across. The Bible said in verse number 5, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Then the Bible said in verse number 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. More than conquerors. Number one, I said there you have to have an assurance that you know the Lord. Number two, there has to be a desire to please the Lord. Honey, anybody that's ever been saved by the grace of God knows what I just said. God put a desire in your heart for His Word. God put a desire in your heart to pray. God put a desire in your heart for the house of God. The other day, when we had Brother Rossi's service here at the church, there was a preacher left here. He said, you
I'm going to quote it. He said, I like it. I said, in that service, I said, there are people, multitudes of people that are trusting something to take them to heaven that won't even take them to the house of God. I said, beloved, listen, the Bible said faith without works is dead, being alone. I wouldn't trust a dead faith to take me to heaven. Word of God teaching us here, beloved, listen, that if we're going to be more than conquerors, there needs to be a desire to please the Lord. I believe you remember the little audio that we listened to, the CD on bus 19. You remember the lady that got saved and then was going back to church on Sunday night, and her husband said, my goodness, ain't no need in running it in the ground. You know what was on her heart that evening? She didn't really care if it pleased her husband. She just knew it would please the Lord if she went on back to the house of God that evening. Amen. And she knew that God would bless her. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, friend of mine, that when people get saved by the grace of God, there's a desire. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I might inquire in His holy temple. Let me give you this. Thirdly, we need an assurance that we know the Lord. There needs to be a desire to please the Lord. How many can remember when God put that desire in your heart? Hallelujah. Brother Joe, I seen you down this morning. I'm not picking on you. I love you. We need to pray for Brother Joe. His legs and his fits, his back's giving him a fit. I seen him coming down. Brother Houston reminded me of Brother Fred a little bit. Just coming down real gently. Oh, you say, preacher, what make a man that old and broken up like that and hurt like that? What make a man like that want to get in the choir? What make a man like that want to get in the car? What make a man like that want to go to the house of God? I tell you what to make a man like that, a desire for the things of God. A desire. We're living in a generation that don't think much about it. They can desire the football game, the basketball game, the baseball game. They can desire politics. They can desire Wall Street. They can desire a better job. They can desire a bigger house. But I tell you, if there's no desire for the things of God, there's a problem in your life. The Word of God is saying more than conquerors. No wonder, beloved, listen. No wonder. No wonder there's a desire. Now let me give you this. Not only does there need to be a desire, this is sad, but sometimes people have a desire, and yet, Brother Steve, no one takes them in. The Bible said when we're saved, we're babies. We're babes in Christ. Not enough Bible being preached or being taught to help anybody to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not against the man being loud when he preaches. I'm not against that. It'd be hard for me to be against that, wouldn't it? Amen. I tell you what I do believe. I believe you ought to be saying something. I don't think you ought to just be loud to be loud. People can say something without being loud. I'm just saying, listen, it's the Word of God that helps us. It's the Word of God. And so let's look in the Bible and see how we can have an understanding. We need that. If we're going to be more than conquerors, we need to have an understanding of how we can please the Lord. Let me give you this. Verse number 10 said, and Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The spirit is life because of righteousness. Christ is in you now. That's what the Bible said. When you get saved, Christ is in you. And that's the hope of glory. By the way, I'm just going to say that's the only hope of glory. The only reason I'm going to heaven is because Christ is in me. Amen. And listen, there's several things right here when you have an understanding of how you might please the Lord. First of all, in verse number 11, the Bible said we're indwelled by the Spirit. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, how many believes, listen, that night when you got saved, that day when you got saved, honey, listen, sin moved out and the Spirit of God moved in. And the Savior took up abode in your heart, and He dwells in your life. And beloved, that's what, listen, this flesh can't conquer anything. The Word of God said, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But thank God there's a Holy Ghost living in us that are saved, that can conquer and make us more than conquerors through Him. that loved us, indwelled by the Spirit. And not only that, listen, I think sometimes we miss this. Look at verse number 12. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors. Not only is the believer indwelled by the Spirit of God, but the believer is indebted to the Spirit of God. We're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but we're in debt to the blessed Holy Ghost, Brother John, that came in that day when we said yes to the Savior. We owe it to Him. We're indebted. Beloved, listen. Listen to me carefully. It's a happy day. If you have to buy a car on installments, it's a happy day when you can pay it off. If you have to buy a house on installments, it's a happy day when you can pay it off. When you can pay the last payment. But I'm going to tell you something. As long as this old boy's breathing, I'm indebted. I can't get that paid off. I'm indebted to the blessed Holy Ghost that came by my way one day. And my friend convicted me of my sin and convinced me that Jesus was the answer to my sin and birthed me into the family of God. When I open my Bible and He teaches me something from the Word, I'm indebted to Him. I can't understand anything without Him. I'm indebted. And so how do we please the Lord? We're indwelled by the Spirit. We're indebted to the Spirit. Look at verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. A couple of things right here. Number one, the Holy Ghost will never lead you wrong. You say, preacher, I wish you'd say Holy Spirit. I did. Holy Ghost shouldn't scare anybody who believes the Bible. The Holy Spirit of God will lead us. And beloved, listen, He'll never lead you wrong. Let me give you another thing. It kind of goes hand in hand. We're living in a generation when you hear statements once in a while, something like this. Well, I know what the Bible says, but here's what the Lord's leading me to do. Let me tell you something else. The Holy Ghost, Brother Sam, will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. Honey, I could say a whole lot right there, but I'm going to move on. I said the Holy Ghost will never lead a believer. And sometimes, beloved, listen, people give up their position of being more than a conqueror because they'd rather have their will than His will in their life. Have an understanding of how we can please the Lord. We're dwelled by the Spirit. We're indebted to the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. But then look at verse number 16. To see the witness of the Spirit. The Bible said the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. For years, I said to people, the only way you can know that you're saved by the grace of God is by the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you, 1 John chapter 5 teaches different. And what I just read to you teaches different. Not only can you know by the Scripture, thank God that you're born again. But honey, there's a spirit inside of the born again man, the born again woman that bears witness with our spirit. And I can stand here and say, I'm saved. And the Holy Ghost says, Amen. The Holy Ghost didn't say, oh me. The Holy Ghost said, Amen. You say, what right does He have to say Amen? He was there when He saved me. He's the one that birthed me in the family. He knows I've been born again. Amen. Beloved friend, more than conquerors, have an understanding. By the way, no wonder. As important as the Spirit of God is, no wonder the Bible said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. I mean, let me tell you something right here. You go to grieving Him, and I'll guarantee you that you ain't going to feel too saved. You ain't going to feel too much like a conqueror. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Honey, I'm telling you, it's important that the believer does not grieve the blessed Holy Ghost. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 said, quench not the Spirit. You ever done that, Brother Kenny? I'm picking on Brother Kenny. Because every once in a while, God gets hold of Brother Kenny and he just has to stand up and say, I've got to say something. Every once in a while, God wants us to say something, we don't say it. Every once in a while, God wants us to witness, and we don't witness. Every once in a while, God wants us to do something, and we don't do it. Every once in a while, God wants us to forgive somebody, and we won't forgive them. And that grieves the Spirit of God, and it quenches the Spirit of God. And so, thirdly, we need to have an understanding of how that we can please the Lord if we're going to be more than conquerors. Number four, let's move on. The Word of God said here in verse number 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We need to remember, number four, that we are in Christ. We're in Christ. Listen, if I'm in Christ, and Christ is in God, do you know how much God, the devil, would have to go through to get to me? He'd have to go through so much he'd get saved before he got there. I'm in Christ. Are you in Christ? Have you been born again? We need to remember that we're in Christ. Watch this. A couple things right here. Never forget who we are in Christ. You say, preacher, you ain't nobody. Well, the Bible said I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I'm just going to take the Bible. Without Him, you're right. I'm less than nobody. But with Him, we're children of the living God. The Bible said, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Then there's an if. We need to never forget that we're to suffer with Christ. There's an if right there. When Paul said that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, he didn't stop right there. He said the fellowship of His suffering. I don't know if you've ever suffered in your life. I dare say you have. But honey, there's just something about fellowship and suffering. One old boy that couldn't talk plain, he just said the Lord just kept getting tweeter and tweeter. The Word of God, beloved, is teaching us. If we'll know who we are in Christ, we need to remember who we are, and we need to never forget that we're to suffer with Christ, if so be that you suffer with Him. You remember back there in the book of Acts, I don't know if I can find it real quick. Let me look for it real quickly. I need to read this. I can't quote it. It's not on my memory good enough to quote it. But let me see if I can read this. Okay? All right? Acts chapter number 9. How many members when the Apostle Paul, Saul, was born again, saved on the Damascus Road? I want you to listen to what the Lord said unto him. Verse number 15. Go thy way. He's a chosen vessel, speaking of Saul, Paul, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Look at verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I wonder how many of God's people would have bowed out right there and said, no, thank you. But the Apostle Paul realized something. He realized that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. The Word of God said here, we should not forget who we are in Christ. We should never forget that we're to suffer with Christ. We should never forget what we're promised in Christ. You talk about suffering. I read this the other day and I copied it and put it in my notes because I thought it was good. I'm not sure I'll pronounce this right. Brother Dennis said, N-I-C-E-N-E, Nicene, I believe, at the Nicene Council. An important church meeting in the 4th century A.D. Of the 318 delegates attending, fewer than 12 out of 318... fewer than 12 had not lost an eye or a hand or did not limp on a leg because they were tortured for their faith. in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say God's been good to us. And I'm trying to say, let's try to make sure, beloved, that we're willing to stand up. We're willing to speak up. You say, preacher, somebody might shut the door in my face. I say, big deal. Beloved, listen, we need to stand up for the Lord Jesus and speak up for Him. Oh, beloved friend, we need to be willing to suffer for His name's sake. We know very little of that in our generation. But I will say this. We may know a lot more before He comes. We don't know what's coming. And then we need to remember, number five, the work the Lord is working in our lives. The Bible said in Philippians, being confident of this very thing, He which hath begun a good work in you. How many remembers when He started it? He will perform it. In other words, He's not going to lay down on the job. He's going to keep working until the day of Christ. And He can stamp it finished, complete. Why? Because we'll be just like Him. We'll be with Him. The Bible said here, as far as God working in our lives, in verse number 26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Because we know that we should not as we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Bible said, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Let me give you three things quickly. Remember, the Lord is working in our lives. Number one, He's working according to His will. Number two, He's working according to His purpose. God has a purpose in everything in our lives. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. That's not just a way of escape, beloved. That's a truth in the Word of God. God started a work. And beloved, He's working according to His will in my life. And He's working according to a purpose in my life. And yours too. You that are saved by the grace of God. Beloved, He's working according to His foreknowledge. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. In other words, when God saved me that night, February 22nd, 1987, I'm getting close to my birthday. Today's 19th, isn't it? My birthday will be Wednesday. Is that right? Monday 20, Tuesday 21. Wednesday. I'll be 30 years old. You say you got a lot of white hair to be 30 years old. Well, I'm talking about in Jesus. I'm talking about what really counts. And I'm telling you that when God saved me that night, in His foreknowledge and in His predestination doesn't have anything to do with the lost. That's talking about saved people. God predestined that you and I that were born again were going to make it. That ought to cause us to be more than conquerors. That ought to cause us to shout glory. We're going to be like Jesus. And we ought to want to be as much like Him on the way as we can. Amen. Remember, the Lord is working according to His will, according to His purpose, according to His foreknowledge. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. Do you see that right there as past tense? Paul is writing in Romans chapter 8 and he says glorified. It's done. He said, preacher, I thought you were still here. I am. But in the mind and the heart of God, it's done. When I said yes to the Master, He said it's done. It's done. So I don't know what you're so happy about. If the Holy Ghost can't help you figure that out, I sure can't help you. Amen. Went down on my way to hell, came up on my way to heaven. Went down with nothing, come up with everything. Went down guilty and come up forgiven. Went down, my friend, dirty and come up clean. Went down not knowing how to love anything or anybody and come up loving God's people, loving sinners, loving the Lord, loving this old book. Hallelujah. Remember, the Lord is working in our lives. Number six, remember verse number 32, the price that was paid for our victory. Not a whole lot said about the price these days. I'm just thinking about our president right now, just a moment. How he likes to negotiate. You know, he likes to get the price of the planes down, and he likes to negotiate with companies. I'm not fussing. I like it. Honey, if you don't think I'm a negotiator, you ask Miss Eve. I embarrass her. I cause her to turn red and walk off. I'm one of God's chosen people. I'm going to get it as cheap as I can get it. Amen. I'm going to negotiate. And by the way, if you don't believe that's all right, you need to follow John Dockery through the flea market sometime and see if he ever pays $20 for something that's got a $20 price tag on it. Let me give you something. I'm going somewhere. Our president likes to negotiate. He said that plane, you know, I don't hear well, so I had to back the news up yesterday, and I had to actually get my daughter. I think the plane was supposed to be $4.2 billion. And somebody was saying, it might have been the president saying that he saved. And I couldn't make out, Brother Steve, whether he was saying a million or a billion. I couldn't make it out. I couldn't understand what. I kept backing it up and backing it up. And I finally got Charity. I said, did he say a million or a billion? And she said, Daddy, he said a billion. I said, oh. I said, a million and 4.2 billion, that's just peanuts. But if you're talking about 25% of the price, that's some pretty good negotiation. But let me tell you something about salvation. It's not negotiable. Well, Lord, I'm telling you, God didn't say, wonder how we'd get by the cheapest. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to give the Son. And my friend, listen, if Christ, look what the Bible said right here in the Word of God. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. He didn't negotiate. He gave the best for the worst. That we might be born again. How shall he not freely with him? My friend, think about it. To think that God would give us eternal salvation and then not give us everything else we need is foolish. He supplies our need. He's all I need. All I need. Remember the price that was paid for our victory. Next time you get the feeling like less than a conqueror, why don't you just crawl up to Calvary? Why don't you just crawl up to Calvary? And see the price that was paid. So God could look down there and say, son, get up from there. You're one of my youngins. You're more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. The last thing in the message this morning. We need to remember the promise that was made to the victor. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution? Brother John, you was reading that word distress in another passage, wasn't you? God say something to us this morning. He's trying to say, listen to us, Bible way. He's trying to say, let's get our chin up. Let's look up. We're somebody. We're going somewhere. God put us in the family. God's going to take care of the family. God's going to help us. Watch it now. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? By the way, Brother John touched on this in Sunday school, and boy, did a great job. Those things will not separate you from the love of Christ. They will engulf you in the love of Christ. They'll cause you to be closer to Him. Watch this now. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He said, I'm persuaded. Are you persuaded? Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The chapter 8, talking about being more than conquerors, it started with no condemnation. I can shout right there until Jesus gets here. But it ends with no separation. He said, I promise you, there's nothing that could separate you from the love of God. You think about that. Think about that. I wrote this down with so much and covered so fast. I wrote this down so I wouldn't get all twisted up. This could be the day that the Lord would call me home. How many understand that? The Bible said, boast not thyself, but tomorrow you don't know what another day may bring forth. This could be the day that the Lord would call me home. One thing for sure, I've never been alone. Watch this. You say, preacher, how can you say that? Well, first of all, if you read Psalm 139, he was pretty close to me when mommy still had me right here. How many believes that? He had, even when the substance was not yet formed. The Bible said he called Jeremiah in his mother's womb. A lot of people want to limit God. I don't think we should limit God. God's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. Listen to me carefully now. He was there. He had his eye on me. Before I was ever saved, he was there. This goes back to Sunday school, Brother John. Now you know why I was about to run a bed sitting back there. You say, preacher, you can't say that. You wasn't saved. The Word of God said it was in Him, Brother Rose, that I lived, I breathed, and I had my very being. If you're here this morning, you're lost. Let me tell you something. You can't even get a breath without Him. Then one day I got saved. He moved on the inside. You see, there was a day when He was with me. And then in a moment of time, it wasn't just that He was with me. He was in me. Hallelujah. Watch this. He's never left me or forsaken me these 30 years. And if this day I had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, my Bible said, Brother Gristle, he said, thou art with me. He ain't going to leave me in the valley either. It began with no condemnation, and it ends with no separation. Aren't you glad, thank God, that nothing or no one can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know what I believe? I believe that Brother Steve stood here this morning and he said, I wish you'd pray about it. I wish you'd consider going with us to visit. And I understand that and I appreciate that. But I tell you what, if we all fell in love with Him, we'd all want to tell somebody about Him. I don't want to say this to embarrass anybody, but we went on the snow tubing trip yesterday. And it was probably pretty obvious that I've got this thing in my heart for Olivia. I thought I was going to have to whoop Luis before we got back. Luis teaching Olivia to say,
you straighten up.
I said, now, Louise. I said, first time mommy says something to her and she looks up at mommy and says, you straighten up. I said, honey, that's going to cost her big time. It's pretty obvious that I love that little girl. But, Brother Steve, there was something that was obvious to me. You love your wife. It was so obvious that you all were not enduring your time together, but you were enjoying your time together. How many believes as a Christian it ought to be so obvious, Brother Grizzle, that this is not just about some duty, but that we love Him, that we appreciate Him, we're thankful for Him, we love to be with Him. One day, He's going to come. If He comes today, are you ready? He is coming. Are you ready? I've done my best this morning to share a little thought, more than conquerors. More. I mean, just being a conqueror would be great. But I think what Paul's trying to say, Brother John, is, I can't say it. Paul's trying to say we're more than conquerors. Conquerors as close as I can get, but we're more than that through Him that loved us. I mean, He's glad you come this morning. Let's bow for prayer, and we'll have a verse of invitation. If you need this altar, that's what it's for. Maybe someone would just be honest this morning. Somebody come and crawl in the altar and say, Lord, I've been running on feelings long enough. It's time to get back to running on faith. I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, you're not saved. Oh, I tell you, 30 years ago I went to church on a Sunday night. I wasn't saved. But I left church that night. Run home and tell my wife. Leave there and run over and tell mom and dad. Leave there and go to another friend's house. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I was still telling people how good it was to be saved. It's good to be saved. It's good to know the Lord. It's good to have a place to labor in His vineyard. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord, come down in this altar. Let's take a Bible. Let's look at a few verses of Scripture. Let's pray. Let's trust the Lord this morning. If you're here this morning, you would believe God's put it in your heart to join this church. You could come this morning and say, Pastor, we want to join. You can join by moving your letter from a church of like faith, a candidate for baptism. If you've been saved, not been baptized, you can come on your statement of faith. Pastor, we been born again, been saved, baptized. We want to unite with Bible Way Baptist Church this morning. Would you mind the Lord? Whatever He tells you to do, would you do it? Would you do it? Please do it. Father, have Your way. As we stand and sing together, may people be unashamed to move toward You. In Thy name we pray.